All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Jack from Milwaukee's calling.
Hey, Jack. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning, fellas. I'd like to make a quick comment on why I think the rural areas are voting the way they are. When you hear just one side of the story, there's two sides to every story. I think since when you listen, you hear to Fox News and Clear Channel all day long, 24/7. There used to be something years ago, what they used to call the fairness doctrine. Yeah. See, the Democrats have lost the airways, and if you don't have, if you only hear one side of the story, that hurts. That's ours to it, and you get brainwashed, and that's. That's my opinion on that, and that's why I'm so happy that you guys came back on the air again, because the radio stations I hear in Milwaukee, there's nobody listening to, you know, and I cannot listen to people that are so radical and angry like this CJ, you know. So anyhow, thank you for taking my call, and that's my opinion.
Thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. So let's do this. My guest is on the line. I am honored to have on the line a good friend, Mr. Willie Hines. He is the president. Are you the president, or what is the title?
The secretary, executive director.
Okay, the executive director of the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority. Good morning to you, my friend. It is really good to finally get to talk to you again. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ms. Ingram, for having me on your show. I do appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listening audience. You've obviously been a great voice in the greater Milwaukee area for many years, addressing many key issues involving the city. So we do thank you.
And congratulations on the promotion.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an honor and opportunity to be able to serve the city in a different capacity. I was born and raised in public housing, and at not one point in time when I was playing on the asphalt or in the cement in public housing had I ever thought that I would be elevated to this position. It really speaks to what is attainable when there are opportunities for family self-sufficiencies and others that are pouring into the youth and our kids. And so I'm just thankful that Housing Authority was able to groom me and my family, and it was a platform that allowed us to excel in the broader community.
Let's talk about how long ago it was when you were bouncing the ball on the hard courts at Marquette University.
Ooh, man, that's time goes by so fast, man. Well, it started at Highland Public Housing Projects in Hillside, and playing with Lapham and Lapham Park over at the Social Center. And that was, you know, that was a safe haven for me as a kid, the basketball court. And that was some 30, 40 years or so ago. My goodness, that time goes by so fast.
So who did you play with at Marquette? I forgot.
Well, I played under Rick Majerus. I was fortunate enough to play with Dwayne Johnson and Vic Lazaretti, Kerry Trotter, Terry Reeves, and Mandy Johnson. It was the year that Doc Rivers, Glenn Rivers, who now coaches for Philadelphia, he left and forfeited his senior year to go to the NBA draft. And so that was the time period that I was playing with.
And when the bottom fell out.
Well, it took a turn.
They should
have taken advantage of my talents, gifts, and skills, and maybe we would have been more successful.
Hey, but let's talk about, man, the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority, because we can talk about all the other things that happened in our city that don't work. How is it possible that the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority, which has won national awards, continues to be a bright light in our city?
Well, let me say this. We've had excellent leaders that have led this agency and organization. And when I came on board, we had the various mayors in office that really recognized the gifts and talents and brought in key people, Ricardo Diaz being one of them. The second one being Tony Perez, Both of them were excellent visionarians. And I was a part of the board while they were serving in their executive director capacity. And then the mayors were I would say, wise enough to allow for Public Housing Authority to flourish and allowed their creativity, their innovativeness, allowed it their staff who was dedicated and committed to the vision, really allowed us to explore the boundaries, push the pushed towards the edge, and we were able to have tremendous success. And now, as the executive director, I'm really building on what was established when I was a commissioner, building what was established by previous executive directors, and just doing everything we can to ensure that individuals have quality housing and they have the opportunity to flourish. And so that's what we're doing. We realize the importance of building buildings, right? And everyone generally can build a building, but we take tremendous pride in building buildings, building neighborhoods, and building people, because at the end of the day, we're in the people business, and if we can have our families transition through public housing to home ownership or to, you know, other job opportunities they wish to have or a business, then that's when we've truly excelled and succeeded.
You know, I bet you didn't know that I used to work for the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority.
I didn't know that, not at all.
No, I was.
So you're aware of the talents and the commitment by staff as well, then?
Oh, absolutely, man. I was over at Parkland for a while, and I want to ask you this, Willie, Executive Director Hines. Right now, nationally, there was going to be $300 billion through the Build Back Better proposal that was going to open the door for affordable housing in this country that has been jettisoned because of Manchin and those kinds of people. How do you continue to move forward? The resources, are they continuing to come on a national scale, or are you afraid that at some point in time you're going to see those resources cut?
Well, let me say this. There's been increases in our voucher program, and that's been pretty consistent. People are familiar with those voucher programs. People can take a voucher and live into their home of choice. And that's a tenant-based voucher. And so the voucher and there are other vouchers within the voucher program, but as we shift to the Section 9, which is traditional public housing, those of Hillside and Park Lawn and our senior towers, senior towers of throughout the city, we've seen cuts in that area. And it's been mostly with the capital improvements. And so not only are we manage the properties, but the property is really owned by the federal government with deed restrictions. And they provide the resources for us to manage, and then they provide the resources for us to do the capital improvements. And capital improvements those resources and dollars have not continued with the wear and tear and just the aging of the product. Nevertheless, and so when the $300 billion worth of Build Back Better dollars were pitched, and we do recognize and believe that housing is essential services, it's infrastructure. But when we didn't get and we had high hopes to be able to improve our obsolete systems, upgrade some of those other items that would help create a safe and stable environment. But when they were cut or were not a part of the Build Back Better build, we were disappointed and hurt by that. However, I will say this, Congress and the mayor and the administration on both sides of the aisle did increase resources to public housing. And so while we didn't get the Build Back Better dollars, our overall annual contributions increased, but we still would need those dollars. But we are extremely thankful of the current increase, and we'll continue to advocate for even more dollars, because if you think about our housing development, as well as we've been able to maintain them, as well as some of our properties are, they're really 70 years old or so. And so that's a pretty aged unit, and if you're in the private sector, some would say obsolete. But we've been able to maintain them well with the support of both our national HUD offices and our local HUD office, which has been very supportive of many of the tasks and things that we've done as well.
So Executive Director Hines, 70 years old. Are you surprised that 70 years later, the need is as important now as it was? And what does that say about our society, that the public housing is, you know, absolutely necessary?
Yeah, it's definitely necessary. As Desmond, I think Desmond Howard, who was the, I'm sorry, Matthew Desmond, who was the author of Evicted, he said, without stable housing, everything else falls apart. And so you and I and others who have a roof over our head and have heat, you know, and have food in the refrigerator, you know, we have a nurturing, loving, supportive environment. We understand the beauty and the value of housing and the value of what a home is like. And so it's even more so needed today than it was on yesterday as well. And then you have programs that becomes a helping hand. And so we're optimistically hopeful that we can be here to provide support and then be able to have others that were to join the housing needs. So, for example, a lot of people don't know, in the Milwaukee area, we're like 32,000 units short for our affordable housing.
32,000?
32,000.
So hang on, Willie. We've got to go to a break. On the line, Mr. Willie Hines. He is the Executive Director of the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority. Our phone lines are open, 414-507-5642. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk radio station, bringing you a lineup of live talk radio every single weekday. Kick off your afternoon with local headlines and multiple trains of thought by listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Tune in for the political party that is the Devil's Advocates radio show every day from 3 to 6 p.m. right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the Executive Director of the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority, none other than Mr. Willie Hines. You know, Willie, before we went to break, you said that there are 32,000 short, 32,000 units. And I look at a place like Parkland. If you haven't seen the Parkland redevelopment, I suggest people, if they ever get to Milwaukee and get a chance, to go to 60th and Silver Spring. Is that where it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Westlawn.
Westlawn.
On 60th and Silver Spring, that's
60th
correct,
and Silver Spring. And I don't know, that's got to be one of the largest units I know in the state, but maybe in the country, huh?
Yeah, well, it's definitely the largest in the state. And let me tell you what we've done. And for those who will get the opportunity to go there, we really transformed an aging housing development site that was built, like I said, in the 40s, mid-40s or so. And they just became very obsolete. And we were fortunate enough to, and so what HUD did was made available a Choice Neighborhood Initiative grant that allowed for other housing authorities throughout the entire country to bid for those fundings. Hackham was successful. It was a $30 million grant, and we were able to then leverage those resources with other dollars in the surrounding area, from the state, from the city, from the banks, was able to transform that footprint. And we were able to leverage significant amount of resources, transforming the entire area. And so despite while we're doing that, and we went from about 450 or 60 or so units, as we reconfigured, add street grids, it increased to 900 or so more units. We were able to double it. However, even with doing that, the challenge for affordable housing is still great in the broader Milwaukee area. And the reason it is because the wages haven't really increased. And tax credits, the federal government and WEDA has been very, very kind to the city of Milwaukee, and we're very thankful that we were able to earn those dollars by our performance. But despite the great task that we're doing at Choice Neighborhood Initiative grant, which is on Silver Spring, there still remain significant challenges, which then means there are great opportunities to continue to build the city of Milwaukee and the surrounding community.
So that had to be at least $100 million investment or more, huh?
Well, it was done in two phases. The east phase was 64th Street to 60th Street, and that was done with emergency tax credit dollars due to a floodplain and other issues in the area. That had occurred about 12 or so years ago. And we then were finally able to finish the other side, which is the east west side, 64th to 68th Street. Silver String is the northernmost boundary south. It was hundreds of thousands worth of economic development that went into those areas. And again, it was by tax credit, federal government. It was by tax credits. And then it was by other states. PNC Bank has been a key role in helping us transform that neighborhood. And then what we've also did in the area is that we recognize that, again, people generally build bricks and mortar and build housing, but we realize that it's much, much more than
that. Yeah, we built a
community. And so we do housing, people, education, and neighborhood. So that's the foundational pillar of the West Lawn neighborhood development.
You know, the business, the vibrant business community is there too. And so it's able to be sustained. Am I right?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, obviously, when there's a lot of residents in a given area or you have people, I mean, they're going to need services. And so just north of Silver Spring is a commercial corridor that we, too, have partnered with WBIC, Wisconsin Women Business Initiative Corporation, to help, and the city of Milwaukee for facade improvements and other investments in the business and the commercial corridor that's just north of Silver Spring as well. Because when we think in terms of a true community, it's the people, but it's also the business owners and the providers of services to a given area. And that's what makes a true neighborhood successful.
So let's also talk about, because you have properties all over the city and you know, all over the city, especially in an area that I think people will be amazed to understand who don't know anything about it, and that's the old where Freddie Brown grew up.
Hillside.
So for people who may not understand, that redevelopment of the Bucks area has been moving towards that area, and from what I understand, there had been, you know, some opportunity. People wanted to try to purchase the hillside because the development that is taking place downtown Milwaukee is moving in that direction, and they wanted to somehow, I guess, purchase hillside. And you guys steadfastly said no. Why? Well, there's an opportunity to make a lot of money. Why would you not say no?
Well, first of all, when development occurs, it's vitally important to ensure that it is not at the expense of the existing residents. But you want to make certain that existing residents have the opportunity to be beneficiary as well. I mean, if they were able to ride it out during the hard times, they definitely should be a part of the successes as things began to improve. And so our thought is always how do we create maybe a better product while simultaneously serving the same population. And that is how we've dealt with all of our developments previously, which is the case with West Lawn. And as we wrap up West Lawn within the next year or two, we're going to have to look at where we'll go. Hillside has clearly been a site that we were examining. We've been in conversation with residents and surrounding stakeholders. And if we are able to secure resources, we definitely will begin to put a facelift on Hillside, which may include the demolition of some and building on existing properties. But it will be in partnership with the residents, and because it's HUD property as well, right? So a lot of times when development occurs, people are concerned about regentrification, and that's valid in one context or another. And I don't want to have that discussion because it does help with potentiality of economic growth, allowing people to buy homes and sell their homes and then go to a bigger house or buy a business or a car or do something else to build their economic base, because the house is really the largest asset that most people will own. So when they buy your house, you still have the opportunity to do something great. In Hillside, because it's owned by the federal government, they get first rights of refusal, the residents. And we can't sell it outright. There's so many hoops and loops, and we never would want to do that. All of our leadership has always done development to ensure the success of our residents. And so as development happens in that area, the hotel is going up, McKinley and 6th Street, by the Bucks Arena, Pfizer Forum, Deer District. They're going to be putting the museum over there. And, of course, we can't let all of that economic development and growth occurs and see the facelift of a neighborhood around you while we do nothing to Hillside. And so we are committed to investigating and putting our best foot forward to ensure that our residents, as development occurs around them, can also live in a nice, pretty property and be a part of the growth of a neighborhood, and to do so in tandem to what's happening and not at their expense.
So can I get you to hang on? We've got to go to a break. On the line, the executive director of, and you know I almost was going to say Hillside.
Well, that's a part of it as well. That's where I was born.
The City of Milwaukee Housing Authority, none other than Mr. Willie Hines. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. But my guest on the line is the executive director of the Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee, none other than Mr. Willie Hines. Willie, there was a time when, you know, I'm a bluebeard, and there was a time when you were on people who lived in those properties, feared for crime and all of those things, man. Let's talk about, you know, how you've been able to. I haven't heard much at all, if anything, about crime on your properties. You say what to that?
Well, I say, first of all, it's really speaks to our residents, right? Because maybe it's our selection process, then it becomes our residents, and then it becomes our management team, and then a public safety team that kind of triages and work interference for the police department. The housing authorities, we're neighborhoods no differently than others, and we face some of the challenges that many of the neighborhoods face throughout the country. And, of course, COVID has added another element, which I say is the mental stress and angst of others that people have maybe undervalued. But nevertheless, with many of those challenges, and we've seen some incident spikes, oftentimes it's not so much our residents, but maybe individuals that would come to the location or coming through the location.
Like any neighborhood.
Undoubtedly. But we, like I said, we have a dedicated staff of public safety professionals that are try to show up on the scene before the police gets there or get there to have some creative solutions. We have annual inspections, and we have resident councils, and we have leadership within our development. So it reflects a true sense of a community, which helps alleviate and avoid some of the other challenges that surfaces in neighborhoods. So of course, the more residents we have involved, the stronger the location or development becomes. So we realize that it is a community, and it takes a village, and it's a village to raise a village, and our village relationships and partnerships are really strong. And I think many of those those partners' relationships and being this true concept of a village has helped starve off some of the more painful, painstaking incidents. Again, we're not immune to them, but it doesn't happen in the frequency that people may want to perceive public housing authority and crime. It doesn't, it's not hand in hand any longer.
Mr. Hines, you would hear, you know, in sports, and people are looking to try to get a seat for the Green Bay Packers, and they've been waiting for 5 years, and they can't get a spot until somebody dies out. It's kind of like that with public housing, right?
Well, I think it gets back to the housing needs and challenges that we face as a broader community and a nation with regard to not having the adequate housing stock to accommodate and meet people where they are financially. And so you're right. Our waiting list is quite lengthy, or can be from time to time. It generally can take you, a few years or so to get into our public housing, but we have other housing options. I would encourage you to apply for other developments as well that are either tax credits on properties that will, require a certain amount of income, but then it allows you to pay 30% of what you need. But, it gets back to exactly what I mentioned earlier, the gap in available units coupled with income. And the reality is it's just the shortness of income that has created families and put families in very bad, difficult situations, which then means they're waiting on waiting lists longer. And our job is to do everything we can to process our applications as quickly as possible and get families housed because the needs are so great.
You know, you talked about the needs being so great. You said 32,000 short. How do you come to that number?
Well, the Housing Authority, we realize that it's not 32,000, 33,000 or so. We serve one population of the broader housing needs. And our area of focus is those families that are below the area median income, and which is about $15,000 or so a year.
Hold on.
The median income. This is Sandy Williams. The median income is $15,000
in the Milwaukee area for the population that we serve.
And the population you serve is a geographically defined population, or what is that population?
No, sir. It's low income individuals.
Okay. So
again, there's different tiers of housing.
Okay.
Public houses. So maybe homeless. Public housing tax credit in that order.
Okay, so the low income, what is the boundary for the low income community in which then the median is $15,000?
It's not defined by an area that I'm aware of. It's just defined by, the AMI is established. It's a number that's established just by the average median income established. I know HUD gives us ours. I don't know if the state drives another element of it, but it's based upon one family, two family, three family, four family. So one person making $15,000 would be below the area median income for a one-person household.
So has the number of people in Milwaukee who would be eligible under that criteria grown? So is it a growing problem based on the relative incomes of your population?
I've not looked at the data, but recent material that I've reviewed indicates that that's where the gap exists. And I would say, given the fact that income has not, housing rent rates have outraced the income.
Uh-huh.
There's times where, and even you're looking at the situations now, rent rates have increased some 40-50% over the last few years. That has not been the case with income. And so that's where the problem and the gap arises. And again, that's a population that we serve, which on the flip end of it, which is why family self-sufficiency, which is a component of our programming that says how do we stabilize families? How do we get them how do we improve their skills? How do we get them into job opportunities? How do we get them to improve their overall economic condition? How can we improve their educational attainment, their skill sets, and ultimately drive them towards home ownership? And we've been able to do that as indicated with partnership. But yes, the population oftentimes that we're starting with, income is pretty low.
You know, that figure is amazing, I think, for many who may not even conceive that anybody could be, you know, $15,000 a year. You know, that's not much money for an 18-year-old, let alone an adult. But that's the reality of what is going on in our city and many cities like it across the nation, right?
That is true. And so what happens is, again, as the rent rates increase, how much of their income are people paying for rent? And so there's this term that's called rent burden. When an individual is rent burden, which he is greater, he or she is paying, some of them are paying 40% of their income on their rent, when in essence you really should be only paying 30%. And so that becomes the opportunity to grow their overall economic situation, but it is the unfortunate reality that we face. And as I was indicating, Hackam, while we serve a population, the figures and the data, we sit with this group called the Community Development Alliance, which is ran by Teague Whaley-Smith, who really, the alliance consists of housing practitioners, builders, foundation community, those who are serving that population, banks. So it's the housing, like a conglomerate, that have worked together to say, I know how Hackam can work on public housing, but there's some broader issues that we can work on together collectively as well. And so the Community Development Alliance is one of those organizations that we work with who provide data, information, and help us align our arguments. So when we approach the state or when we approach the federal government or the city or foundations, we're able to have a voice of uniformity that will allow for a greatest return on impact, because at least in that space, we can all work together on one that particular item. That item really is, how do we improve the overall number of housing availability to residents in that income stream?
Let me ask you, dealing now with after COVID and many people who are being evicted because for various, obviously they had not been paying their rent during the COVID moratorium, and now it is just overwhelming. Hackam able to do anything to help those people, or is that something completely different?
Well, no, COVID really caused a tremendous harm burden on a number of families. Those working families who are part of the public housing and those who lost their jobs as well, who are no longer in a position to be able to pay their rent. The fortunate opportunity for us in public housing is that we are able to work with families, and HUD gives us the ability to be able to do so. But SDC and community advocates have been strong partners as well, helping to, through American Recovery Act funds, they've been working with families to help them deal through their financial crisis that made it difficult for them to pay their rent. And so what we've done is we'll put them on a payment plan, or under some cases, SDC and community advocates are able to provide some financial support to ensure that they get back on target. But it was very strange. I mean, we're still in the process of getting through it now. COVID, the storm may be beyond us, but the residual impacts are still very much present.
You know, do you ever think, Willie, that maybe we live in a society where if you don't see people, you don't really realize just what they are going through in families, you know, because there's so many families that are trying to hold it together, and yet people don't see it, and they think that, you know, you just have a bunch of freeloaders. But you and I know, your former mayor, I mean alderman of the city of Milwaukee, and former chairman of the Common Council, you kind of know your way around our city and what people are going through.
Yeah, I think the issue is people. You're absolutely right, but I think people live their lives and see themselves in the lives of others, And sometimes they're compassionate and they give them resources. But then the other time they say, well, I pulled myself up from the bootstraps. You should be able to pull yourself up. Or you think that things are fine in your space and world and you have small problems. So you think others have small problems. And the reality is they have big problems. They have no bootstraps. They're really more depleted than you can even imagine.
So hang on, Willow. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Don't come easy, but I keep on.
Time.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is a good friend and a man who's really done a lot for the city of Milwaukee. The executive director of the City of Milwaukee Housing Authority, none other than Mr. Willie Hines. You know, Willie, let's talk in these last few minutes about prospects for the future. Excuse me, plans that and activities that are going to be happening at Hackam over the summer.
Well, thank you. Well, a couple of things that we will be working on. We'll be doing our spring clean, re-engaging with our residents. Many of them have been in home and just haven't been out and active. So we're going to work on getting them out and actively engaged. We'll focus on some of the curb appeal activities and get them connected to one another, reconnected to one another again. And so from that perspective, that will be festive evolved and with celebratory activities and types of treats and foods and partnership and just kind of liveliness, getting our residents back there. Will we have our annual meeting in July? That will celebrate our staff who was more of a, we were essential services in the last 2 years while others, were working remotely. Many of our staff was coming in to work every day despite facing COVID situations in their own personal family lives. And so we're going to celebrate them during the course of the summer. We'll wrap up some things over at West Lawn while we began to examine some activities throughout the other locations as well, and kind of put our spring clean summer face on our properties. So that's our tremendous focus right now. We'll work in partnership, as indicated, with the Community Development Alliances, because they're working in a space that will help to ideally when we talk in terms of prevention of evictions, how do we work to increase the wages, because many of the root causes of eviction, overcrowding, and many of the other issues we see, is wages being a challenge. We'll work on just some collective planning to secure additional resources and do what we can to make housing in this area better and benefiting to all. And so we're going to engage some of the residents and some of our youth in hiring opportunities. So we can engage them young, get some money in their pockets, and allow for them to improve their skill set and put them on a path to self-sustainability in their adult life as well. So a lot of summer social, a lot of summer spring activities that we'll be embracing.
You know, Willie, just so people listening who may not know have some concept of the magnitude of what it is you guys do, how many families would you say are involved with Hackam?
Well, we serve about 10,000 plus low-income families, and that ranges from seniors, adults with disabilities, to veterans. And the housing portfolio is kind of throughout the entire city. Some in family developments, some are in our towers, which would be a College Court, 35th and Highland, Locust Court on Locust and Humboldt in that area, Arlington, Lincoln on the south side, Mitchell on the south side. So those are our senior towers and their families. They're seniors and some of them disability individuals. And we do about 10,000 or so, but that's through public housing and through vouchers. So vouchers are either project-based vouchers that they associated with the building, or it's a tenant-based voucher where an individual can take in and find another house. And that's when we're partnering with the public sector, because we don't have that product. They do, and they've been very helpful. And we're going to have to expand on that relationship.
Let's talk about those senior towers that and the impact that they have. Let's talk a little bit about what that is.
Well, when the senior towers are normally, you know, they're scattered throughout the city. They have as minimum, if it's a low rise, it can be as small as 120. If it's a high rise, it can be as many as 220 or so. And those are single, generally single family units. And near elderly, if you're 55, they identify it as near elderly. So, but if you're older than that, then it allows for you to have access to those opportunities. If you have,
wait a minute. If we're older than 55, that means what?
That means you and I are near elderly. despite what you see in the mirror, how great you might feel, you're still near elderly. That's what they tell me, man. I fight it every day,
What galled me was when I was about 46, I started getting stuff from ARP in the mail.
Correct. Right.
Can't you just wait?
Right. Like, I'm trying to delay that as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, it's like the vulture circling.
Let me ask you, in those senior towers, do they have full-time medical staff?
Well, what we've done, we were fortunate enough to work with the state. And two of our sites, one in particular, Lapham Park Venture Partnership, we do have the presence in that building, right? And so that's something that we want to continue to build on, rather than having 30 and 40 of our residents, you know, that have to see a nurse, and 30 or 40 nurses are coming into one building. It just made sense for us to say, put a clinic in the basement.
Right.
Or a place where they can work. So now you only have three or four nurses there for all 50 or 60 of our residents that service them in the building. And so we will expand upon that project that currently exists at our Lapham Park tower, which is off on 6th and Reservoir. It was a tremendous partnership with our previous administration and with Governor Thompson at the time that seeded that program. And so those are some of the things that we want to continue to build at other locations. Some we've had before, but COVID had closed some of those opportunities, and we'll just have to reconnect and then expand upon some of them.
So people who are listening who might need your services, what would they do? Who would they call? What would be the process?
Well, if they're interested in some public housing opportunities, the numbers that we generally give is 414-286-5824. That's where they could start to get the process going. So good, safe, quality housing.
And that includes the elderly.
Yes, sir. That would be our in-house call. All of it, right? And that's what elderly, our family development, scattered sites, vouchers, and then from there we can sort you into the right places to direct you.
So in the last 2 minutes, what do you want to say to our audience?
Yeah, I would want to say that as it pertains to public housing, there's some negative stigmatizations associated with public housing and affordable housing and things as such. I would say that let's not judge the book by its color. There are many great activities that are happening in public housing and affordable housing. A lot of communities are fighting by public affordable housing. But what they don't realize is that in certain communities, affordable housing is for your teachers. Affordable housing can be for police officers. It can be for firefighters and those who serve your community at the Sam's Clubs or the Walmarts or what have you. So I think unfortunately, there's stigmatizations associated with words, negative connotations, when the reality is everyone deserves a quality house. Despite where the income, and you shouldn't have to be wealthy just to have a quality roof over your head. Again, affordable housing reaches everyone, and everyone should have the opportunity to have quality housing.
Hey, my friend, I want to thank you. It's been far too long, man. It won't be so long the next time. I think you're doing a great job, and it is so critically important that we'll have you on again and again and again. That's my good friend, Willie Hines, and you know, Willie was at the root of the Marquette Warriors. They're not the Marquette Warriors anymore.
Not anymore.
The
Golden Eagles.
The Golden Eagles. and their fall from grace after Doc Rivers. all right, my friend. Thank you.
Let me say, with Shaka, we're gonna do some great things.
All right, man. I miss you, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you very much. Got to go to a break. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.